Hello, Michael McKenzie here for Life Matters. There's an app for everything these days, for tracking public transport, counting our steps, measuring calories, keeping a digital record of our receipts for tax time. But should we be relying on apps to help us with our health and well-being? There's a lot of options out there, and it's really tricky to know whether an app you're downloading will actually be useful in improving your health outcomes. A new study of healthy living apps has found only 2 out of 348 were rated as being highly effective. Dr. Fiona Mackay from Deakin School of Health and Social Development led the research, and Fiona's with me now. Fiona, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on.
Now, I've got to say, that's not a great result, 2 out of 348. It's a fairly broad church when it comes to healthy living. Can we divide that into subsections? What have we got?
So what we've looked at is 5 different categories of apps, so apps that are promoting healthy well-being, physical activity, apps that help you reduce your alcohol consumption, that might help you reduce your smoking, and that help you really improve your nutrition. So we looked at apps across all of those categories.
Both paid and free?
Correct, both paid and free. And for some apps, we even looked at identical apps that were had a paid version or a free version.
Oh, that's a great idea, because that's right. People often come in on the free, feel like it is going to be effective, and then start stumping up some cash.
That's right.
So with so many apps at your disposal for testing, how on earth do you do it under 100 years worth of time?
Actually, we looked at way more apps than just the 348. We started with about 12,000.
Wow.
And we looked at the descriptions and titles of all of those apps first, and then brought it down to the more manageable 348. And so what we were looking for was apps that we thought might actually promote health. And we looked in the description for that, because that's usually how people find these apps. You know, they look at the image on the app store, they quickly read the description, and then they make a snapshot decision.
Often looking at peer reviews as well.
Correct. Yeah. So we only looked at apps that had been rated by peers a number of times and that had also been updated in the last 18 months, because that's really important. We don't want an app that's just, you know, a historical legacy of the iTunes store or the Google Play store.
Okay. So 348 at your disposal after doing all that sort of choosing and sorting. Mm-hmm. How then do you test them for efficiency?
So we took 2 different processes. I had some colleagues from another area of the university looking at functionality. So whether the app was, you know, whether it did all the things that it says it's going to do, whether it's aesthetically pleasing, whether all the buttons in it work. And so they, 2 independent researchers, looked at those features of the apps independently of us. And then myself and one of my colleagues looked at all of the apps individually. So every app got a review twice. And we looked for all of those features within the app that we thought might promote health.
Such as?
So things like whether you can set a goal, and importantly, whether you can change that goal once you've set it. Because we know that, you know, sometimes we give ourselves stretch goals that might actually be a little bit too far out of reach.
They're so, kind of aspirational,
yes,
as opposed to being realistic.
Correct. So sometimes you need a few days of that stretch goal to realise you need to rein it in a little bit. Or alternatively, you don't set yourself a goal far enough, or you're able to reach that goal. So we were interested in whether people could change the goal that they've created for themselves. We were also interested in whether the app could give you feedback, and that might be personalised feedback. It might be from a bot, or it might be from an actual real person. So we looked at all of those different types of feedback to see if that was available in the app.
Now, you better explain, Fiona. You said it might be a bot.
Yes. So
what do you mean?
What I mean is, you know, if you've achieved your steps for the day, you might get a congratulations, well done, Fiona, you've reached your 10,000 steps. And so that's really helpful, but so is getting some more personalised feedback from a coach. So we looked for both of those things.
Okay. So going through all that, of course, one of the things that needs to happen if an app is going to help you achieve long-term change is that you keep using it long-term.
Correct.
How did you measure that?
Well, it's really tricky. You know, we know that lots of people will download an app, use it once, maybe use it 3 or 4 times, allow it to sit on their phone for a little while, realize they don't have enough space for their photos, and then delete it. So what we looked for was things that we know will help people use the app on a day-to-day basis. So things like reminders. Reminders are super important, and reminders that you can set for the right time of day. So, you know, if you know that you can do your mindfulness meditation when you have your morning tea break at 10:15, then you need to be able to set the app reminder for that time. So we looked for those things as well, because we know that that's going to help you long-term.
I know, for example, I've used some apps for controlling food intake, and they've been quite useful at automatically going, hey, have you tracked your breakfast today? Because now would be the time to do it.
Correct.
So that kind of stuff is quite useful without being too naggy.
Exactly. It's so helpful. We know that behaviour change is really hard. We get quite set in our ways. So having things that help us to create positive habits is actually really good for us long term.
Did you find in reviewing these 348 apps that in fact some of them were counterintuitive or actually were working against themselves in promoting bad ways of behaving?
We were very specific to exclude anything that might encourage, you know, unhealthy behaviours. So anything that, so for example, there are a number of apps out there that will help you to count your alcohol intake, and some of those turned it into a bit of a game. So we decided that it was probably a good idea to exclude those. Those are not health promoting apps.
Okay. I can see that if you're a drinker, used to party games with alcohol, isn't this a way in? I'm playing devil's advocate here.
Sure.
Isn't that a way in to make sure that you feel part of a game-playing process you're already comfortable with?
Oh, look, there are a lot of apps out there that we found were a lot better than those gamified alcohol apps or, you know, gamified smoking apps. So we really just tried to stick with the ones that were going to be health-promoting.
Okay. All right. So let's try and get some results here. Which apps, let's talk about smoking first, and of course the aim is for someone to give up smoking. What apps within that range of smoking or giving up smoking apps did you find to be the most effective?
We found for the smoking apps, it's Quit Genius is the best one. That was the one that was most highly rated by us. Quit Genius is great because it allows you to track your smoking. It allows you to set yourself a behavioural goal. So how many do you want to smoke today? How many next week? How many next month? It gives you a sense of how your body's responding to your reduction in smoking. So, you know, how much better your lung capacity is getting, what's happening to your blood pressure. It gives you an opportunity to compare and contrast yourself to other people. It gives you an opportunity to talk with a social network around how you're going. So, you know, if you've got cravings at the moment, it gives you a distraction, or it lets you talk about your cravings with other people. So we know that all of those things to link into, you know, other networks and other support services for you are really useful. So that was our favourite, Quit Genius.
Quit Genius, this is for when you're trying to give up smoking. And if you're joining us right now, we're talking about rating of healthy living apps that are, you know, they're rife across all platforms for our smartphones. My guest is Dr. Fiona Mackay, who's from Deakin School of Health and Social Development, responsible for this analysis of 348 apps after previously sifting through some 12,000 that are available online. Fiona, that's for those people who are trying to give up smoking. What about those who are trying to reduce alcohol intake?
So the best one that we found, the one that we rated the highest, was the Hello Sunday Morning Daybreak app. So Hello Sunday Morning tries to help you to change your alcohol behaviours over the long term. And again, like the Quit Genius app, it allows you to connect in with a community. It gives you a number of strategies to reduce your drinking behaviour. It gives you a number of strategies for when you're out and you're, you know, you might feel a bit of peer pressure to do some drinking that, you know, gives you some kind of language to use with your friends about how to reduce that drinking.
Great.
And again, does the tracking, allows you to set goals, gives you good feedback, tries to break the habit really.
So you did mention that you've only rated 2 out of 348 highly. Are they the only two?
So we've got one in each of the categories. They are definitely two of our favourite. And I guess the thing to say about the two that have been rated highly is that there are lots of apps that have a couple of features in them. You know, they might have up to 10 of these features that we've looked for out of 21, but just those two were the highest rated. So there are lots of apps that we would put in the okay category.
Okay. And being in an okay category means they could work for some people, but not for others.
Exactly. And so what we were really looking for was apps that had the most features, because having more features is more likely to help you to change your behaviour. So, you know, the ones that are highest rated have got the most features, but, you know, lots of people don't need all of those features. So, you know, for you, it might be the 10,000 steps, and that's exactly what you're looking for to help you move more. But for other people, they're going to need that, you know, community support, They're going to need those rewards, and they're going to need the goal setting and the feedback.
You mentioned in the two apps we've covered so far, both for health, for tobacco and for alcohol, the way that you can communicate with other people within that social circle via the app. Do you think that's one of the great central tenets of effectiveness of any app?
Absolutely. It's so important to be able to talk with other people, to get a sense of how you're going, to be able to find ways to overcome your barriers. And, you know, that might be within the app, it might be through sharing on social media, it might be by getting a bit of personalised assistance from a coach. But we found that, you know, we really look specifically for that type of networking.
Diet apps, this is one of the huge areas.
Yes.
Where we try to modify our food intake to increase our health outcomes.
Yes.
Maybe combining that with exercise. Are there apps that do all that?
Not so much. We, you know, there are a couple of really good sort of healthy habit apps, but nothing that was sort of one size fits all.
Okay. So you might have to have one for diet, one for exercise.
Yep.
And again, do the same criteria apply as to which ones are most effective?
Yes, correct. Across the board, we're looking for things like goal setting, getting feedback, providing people with you know, motivational techniques. Or the other thing that's really important was instruction. So
yes.
If, for example, you're looking at a fitness app and it might be a yoga fitness app, then you need to have instructions on how to behave, how to do that behavior. You can't just tell someone to go and do a 5-minute yoga class. You need to give them instructions on, you know, how to do their downward dogs.
Yes, indeed. So that might actually involve videos inside the app.
Yeah, correct.
Because we do often need a visual cue to understand tone and form and shape.
Yep. Yeah? Some of the great apps had videos embedded in them so that people could have a look at what they should be doing.
How many of these apps are very specific, Fiona, in telling us where your data goes should you sign up?
Look, a lot of the apps have, you know, some type of check right at the beginning, usually when you sign up for the first time, that tells you where your privacy, you know, your privacy information, where the data is going. Lots of people don't look at that. So we really don't know where our data is going with lots of these apps. So we would definitely recommend people pay attention to that privacy information.
Because there's been some famous breaches in the last couple of years surrounding health and fitness apps. One that springs to mind is an app I was a member of called MyFitnessPal, where there was some thousands of people's personal information that was data breached. And I was only reading today that some of that data a year later is now turning up on the dark web for sale and is being sold.
Look, it's a real risk with all of, you know, all of this type of technology. It's still a bit of a moving feast at the moment, and we don't really know who has control of this data. So it is definitely something that we all need to be aware of.
Some of these apps are free. Some you have to pay for. Mm-hmm. Some you pay for in you know, down the track.
Mm-hmm.
Would you recommend that people try them before they buy them?
Absolutely. If you can get the free app, or often an app will have a 7-day or a 30-day free trial, and we would recommend that people take advantage of that before they start spending their own money.
That sounds like a good piece of advice, Fiona. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
And we published a link on our website to all the apps that Deakin University has reviewed and given their ratings out of 5. You can go to the Life Matters website for that. Fiona Mackay from Deakin University talking there about the study of health apps.